And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Prophecy. That's what we're all about here. Prophecy. You know, the Bible is said to be about one-third prophecy. And not one prophecy has ever been proven wrong. I was recently reading about Jesus Christ and how he prophesied that as far as the great temple that stood there on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, it really was 2,000 years ago, his disciples marveled. And they said, "What do you think about this great temple, Lord? Isn't it, you know, majestic and mighty? And it is one of the architectural wonders of the world at the time." But Jesus says, the whole thing will be thrown down. He said, not one stone will be left on another. Can you imagine? Such a mighty edifice, an incredible architectural wonder as the temple of Herod, where all the high priests were, and, you know, Caiaphas the high priest and the Sanhedrin and so forth. And boy, not one stone would be left upon another. Well, today, that's exactly right. Now, you may say, well, there's just some stones there. There's the Wailing Wall, and the Jews go there to pray. The Wailing Wall. This was the wall of Fort Antonio. Fort Antonio, a Roman fort that was built on the site where the temple had been. So Jesus was absolutely correct. He prophesied around 33 AD, 33rd year of the first century, that there wouldn't be any temple for people to go in and worship. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus went to, he asked her for a drink of water and started a conversation with her. Well, you see, Jews, Orthodox Jews, especially those that of that particular faith who believed in, you know, all the things of the temple and such, they're not supposed to speak to women. They don't even speak to a woman. And here he was asking her for a drink of water, and he was talking to her, just like you and I are talking today. And so his disciples came back. They had been somewhere, and they saw Jesus sitting there just chatting with a woman. They were amazed. He's actually talking to that woman by himself. You know, there's no one else there, I suppose. How could he talk to that woman? Well, he evidently considered the woman, well, she was like everybody else, wasn't she? God is no respecter of persons. He's looking at the heart of the individual. Man, woman, Jew, Gentile, it's all the same to God. But she said to him, "You Jews," she was a Samaritan, I believe. She said, "You Jews, you know, worship God at the temple. We have a holy mountain we go to as Samaritans." They worshiped Judaism, but it was sort of a different kind, and they worshiped at what was called a holy mountain. Well, Jesus said, the time is coming, the day is coming, when neither at Jerusalem at the temple nor in the holy mountain will you worship God. Anyone who wants to worship God will do so in spirit and in truth. Oh, my. You don't have to go to the temple anymore. There's no holy mountain to climb. And didn't that come true, my friends? That prophecy? Of course, I can talk about so many prophecies. Now, I want to talk to you about something that may seem a little strange. You may say, well, that's out of the realm of the normal. What has that got to do with prophecy? I'm going to talk to you about robots again today. Robots. Now, I know your eyes may glass over, well, robots. Or you may get excited about it. I tell you, there's a lot of young people today. They're fascinated with robots. They love to see movies with robots in them, all kinds of robots. And I get letters from these people. You know, I must admit that I've always loved robots all my life as an adult. And I've studied robots and robotics, the science of robots. Now, I wrote a book about a year and a half ago, called Robot Alchemy. We've got that book for sale. I want you to get a copy of it. It's the most fantastic book. It's a big book. It's about, it's, you know, like sort of like Mysterious Monuments or Codex Magica in the overall size. And this book is so amazing. It's got all these pictures in color, all these gorgeous pictures of robots. And many of them look exactly like, well, like human beings. Now, a robot doesn't have to look like a human being at all. I mean, if it's going to be created or built by men and women, it can be shaped any way we want it to be shaped, can it? Be like a box or like a big telephone pole? Who knows? It can look like a snake and go underwater to do all kinds of tasks and jobs. And some people believe that man can be integrated with robots. We can be maybe a half robot. Or maybe we're 80% robot. They call it a transhumanist. You know, everybody's heart wears out eventually. Or you get cancer or you're diseased in your body some way. Diabetic or maybe a brain tumor. But all of us are going to die, aren't we? When you read about a person who's 100 years old or older, you go, wow, that's old. I'm not even going to tell you how old I am. That's because I'm so young. But anyway, my wife knows how old I am. And it's interesting that as my parts wear out, the parts that God, you know, put together for me, I believe every person is created by God in his image. And I say in his image, and that means you're not exactly a carbon copy of God. I know I'm not. I can't do the things that God can do, and certainly my brain power is quite limited compared to God's. I suspect if he was going to do a book on robots, it'd be substantially different than mine, superior to mine, but mine's pretty good for human power. Now, it's interesting about robots that the Bible seems to have something to say about them. Ah, you didn't think we were going to escape the Bible and prophecy, did we? Or did you? Well, listen to this one. This is verse 11 of Revelation chapter 13. Now, listen to what it says here. It says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Hey, that could be a robot, couldn't it? A beast comes up out of the earth. Maybe he's made out of human materials, some kind of a, you know, sand. It was a silicon, it's made out of sand. It says he had two horns like a lamb and he spake as a dragon. Did you know there's actually a software called Dragon Software? Dragon Software, that's the name of it. I asked my assistant here, Michelle, at the ministry, I said, could we get a software where I speak into a microphone and it goes in, and it's made into another language? Or, you know, when we were working on Martin Luther's book on the Jews and their lies, it was not in English. We finally found a version, but we thought we had to get the German edition and put it in English. And so was there a software that could do this so we didn't have to, you know, be experts in German language? They said, yes, there is a software package like that called Dragon. Now, why would they call it Dragon? You know, it can speak all the languages of the world and translate them for you on the computer. So you type in English and it comes out in German, or vice versa. It's called Dragon. Verse 12, and he exercises, that's the beast, like a dragon, speaking like a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. And he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. See, earlier in Revelation 13, we are introduced to a beast who's, well, he seemed to be killed, but he awakened from his death. But now we have a second beast. And listen to this one. It says that, and he doeth, the second beast, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He can actually make fire come down from heaven. Have you ever seen a man do that? Well, I have in a way, you see, because I was in the U.S. Air Force, and we had all kinds of systems to make missiles and rockets come down from the heavens where they were based, and they would come down in the sight of men. Yes, they were. They'd come down from heaven. Well, we can consider anything from heaven in the stars and the cosmos, and they would make a huge, terrific impact on the earth. So in fact, yes, we can make fire come down on earth. Verse 14 says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. I want you to think about this. This is the actual image of the beast. It's not the beast, it's his image. And it says the beast should both speak and cause millions, probably, that refuse to worship his image to be killed. Now, this is something. Verse 15, go back to it. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast. Think about that. It did not have life. It was inert. It just stood there like a statue. And then suddenly, it was given life. Could that be a robot? It was given life. And then it began to move about. Well, we see that in movies. There's a robot, perhaps, and you connect it with some kind of electrical source. It's wireless, of course. And it suddenly begins to move about. Anyway, verse 18 says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. It's a wise man that has understanding that can count that number and understand what it means. 666. The beast, the second beast, has that number. And the image of that second beast is able to move and to live. Wow. Is that a robot? Well, you tell me. You tell me. Now, robots. I titled my book Robot Alchemy because of that meaning. What does alchemy mean? You know, robot is just a robot, but if you put it in the category of alchemy, it means occult. It means a horrible, grotesque kind of machine. It means a living being. Ah, yes. Just like in Revelation 13, the image of the beast should suddenly live and begin to move about through alchemy, evidently, which is a satanic power. Remember in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Antichrist will have the ability to create miracles. And he'll perform these miracles so that many will believe in him, that he is the Christ, that he is God, even that he's above all the other gods. Because people on earth in these last days, they do believe in all kinds of gods, do they not? There's a god for this and a god for that. And just like in the old days under the Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians, there's gods for everything. Robot alchemy. It's a secret darkness of great evil. I mean, people don't want a robot that's just a good robot that, you know, fixes your car or makes your hamburgers or cleans your house or maybe is a companion or takes care of you when you're sick. No, they want it to do strange things. They want it to have secret powers, alchemical powers, to bring in magic and mysticism. That's what a lot of people would like. There are a lot of Satanists out there. I hear about them all the time. I meet them. They're evil people. I know what they do. I know how they look. I know what their goals are. They're into alchemy. That's what they're all about. They love alchemy, and they love robotics. But then there's good people. Now, the subtitle of this book is Androids, Cyborgs, and the Magic of Artificial Life. So I'm talking not only about robots, but about androids. What is an android? Well, that's a robot, but it's sort of part human, part machine. Then there's cyborgs that seem to be headed more toward the human. And then there's the magic of artificial life. Now, for over 100 years, people have forecasted, have prophesied robots to come. There have been many great movies. In fact, one of the top science fiction writers of all time was Isaac Asimov. He wrote a book called I, Robot. There have been movies made about it, of course. I, Robot. And the robot in the movie is made harmless because he lives according to the dictum of robots. They have a law, and that law is programmed by software into their brains. What does the law say? Well, basically it says in the first principle, do no harm to human beings. So it cannot do harm to human beings because it's a robot. And every robot is programmed to do no harm to human beings. That's Asimov's law. But of course, there are many out there that want to do harm, aren't there? I mean, look at ISIS, killing Christians, killing other Muslims, murdering, rampaging, raping. They don't care about fun robots or robots that help, that assist human beings. They'd like to see ravaging, rampant, monstrous robots that can kill. Our U.S. Armed Forces would also like to see the kind, that same kind, robots that can kill. And certainly we have drones that are robotic aircraft, and they go seeking whom they may kill. Now, in the book, Robot Alchemy, I talk about all these kinds of robots and what each kind does. Now, it's interesting that, well, let's just talk about the introduction to the book. I want to know what's going to happen to the human beings. This book is called Robot Alchemy, and it gives you the state of art of robots today. What is the state of the art of the robot today? You'll be up to date. You'll be right with science fiction, but it's real. My introduction is entitled, Will the Human Species Survive Past 2035? Hey, folks, that's only 2 decades away. Only 2 decades away. Will mankind even be here in 20 years? Now, a lot of people have written me, said, oh, yeah, that's stupid. Of course we'll be here. We've been here thousands of years. We come from the Neanderthals and the cavemen. Of course we'll be here. Well, in this book, of course, Robot Alchemy, you're going to meet thousands of robots and computerized machines. You'll see how some are jerky, clunky, metallic, but a few are like people. They have soft flesh, if you want to call it flesh, body parts that move brilliantly. And these with soft flesh and soft body parts that appear more like humans can move very smoothly and efficiently. I've got robots in here, you couldn't tell the difference. If you were in the same room with you, you'd look over and over again and say, I think that might be a robot. It may be a person, or it may be a robot. You just don't know. They're making robotic women in China and also in Japan. Women who look just like robots. And, of course, there are humans that are looking more and more like machines. How about that? They're looking like machines. They're bionic men and women. Men and women that are made of flesh and blood but have parts entered therein. Now, it's interesting that some people say these two groups, robots and the bionic types, the bionic humans, are going to merge. They call that the point when singularity is reached. What does singularity mean? It means we become a single species. Whether you're a robot or you're human, you're approximately the same. You have the same capabilities. Now, today, robots are better than people in a lot of ways. I mean, man cannot do the things that robots do on the automobile assembly lines. Oh, I guess with great effort and a whole lot of people, you can. But robots do it a lot better, a lot faster, a lot more efficiently, a lot more accurate. I'd much rather have a car, an automobile, assembled by a robot or robots than by human beings. You may say, well, Tex, Mars. Surely, that wouldn't be a very good car if it was assembled all by robots. Are you kidding me? Robots are exact. They have robots now that can do brain surgery. I think I would rather have a robot operate on my brain than a human being. Human beings can mess up. Of course, robots can too, but very few do. You'd probably be a lot better off with a robot as your surgeon. Robots are eventually going to be a better breed. You know what a breed is, don't you? It's a species. It's a type of living human being or animal, or maybe an insect. People are slated. You know what slated means? It means they're sort of scheduled. They're programmed to become, well, inferior, obsolete. Robots are going to be so much better as a breed, and this will be their world. I want you to think about that. This is going to be the world of the robot. When you go to McDonald's and you get your hamburger, or you go to Wendy's or Burger King, you're not going to see many people there. Now there's, you know, like 15 or 20. Two or three putting the burgers into bags, and some cooking burgers and some making them, and then others making the Cokes and the milkshakes. And finally, he comes to you, and it's all, so there you get your hamburger. Hamburger and a shake, or hamburger and a Coke. Hamburger and French fries. Maybe they need 10 to 15 or 20 people in a McDonald's hamburger. But it's interesting that in the McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King of the future, there might only be one or two people. You drive up and there's a place to put, you know, a voice. It sounds like a human being. But you might see what looks like a human being, but it's a robot. And the robot says, may I help you, sir? May I help you, ma'am? Yeah, I'd like, two hamburgers and a shake, and then give me a salad on the side. And all right. Okay, that'll be a total of, $8.50. Please drive up. Then you drive up, and there's another robot there putting it in a bag and saying, here's your order, sir, and thank you very much for shopping at McDonald's. You hadn't seen one person. Haven't even noticed them. Then you ask yourself, do they even have a person working here? Now, I make phone calls all the time, especially to big companies. Recently had to make a call because I had to change, who gives me my internet and everything. And I had to switch from Time Warner to AT&T. And, you know, everybody I spoke to was a machine. And they said, if you want to do this, then hit number one. If you want to do this, then hit number two. So I'd hit that. Well, thank you, sir. Now, if you want our such-and-such clerk, hit here. If you want so-and-so, hit here. Then I went there. Now, sir, if you want, I already talked to five robots. I didn't talk to any human beings. Finally, I actually said, let me talk to a person. I'm sorry, we can't understand, sir. Would you repeat that? Yes, I want to talk to a human being, I said. They said, could we again hear that? Yes, I want to talk to a human being. And the voice said, we understand that you would like to talk to a live agent. Please hold the line and we'll let you speak to our next agent. And sure enough, a voice came on. Finally, I wanted one little thing and the robots couldn't. They were sending me from one robot to another, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, I said, I don't talk to a human being. So I could see right there they didn't have a robot to answer my needs. But they're going to have one, I'm being told. Well, robots will be a better breed. There's going to be better robots being built. You won't even recognize robots in 10 or 15 years. Now, Dr. Paul Saffo of Stanford University, he poignantly asked this question. He said, what happens after we have truly intelligent robots? There's something my friends call super intelligence. Ah, yes. This is when the robots are endowed, they're programmed, they have software, they have super intelligence. Now, you and I may be intelligent, but the robot can be super intelligent. And Dr. Sappho asked the question, what about when the world gets these truly intelligent robots of super intelligence? Well, here's what he said. He said, if we're lucky, they'll treat us as pets. If not, they'll treat us as foods. As food. Think about that. They're going to be so superior to you and I that they just, well, treat us like a pet. You're a good boy. They hit you on the head, pat you on the head. You're a good little girl. You're a good little boy. But you know, they can only have so many pets. And then they'll treat us as food. Now, right now, the robot seems to need electric power. Somehow, some source of electric power. Not every robot does. Some operate on steam. Some on oil and gasoline. But eventually, they may operate on human beings. They eat human beings. In fact, there's robots just like that. I talk about one called the Eater in my book. I have pictures of him. He takes fuel to keep going. But as long as he has, get this, human beings to eat, he'll be okay. Now, folks, I'm not talking about The Walking Dead or some kind of a cannibal or a, you know, I'm talking about real living beings, robots. They'll treat you different than pets. They'll eat you and pet the dog. You know, in 1985, I authored the first ever book on personal and home robots. It was called The Personal Robot Book. And it was a main selection of the Computer Book Club and the Electronic Book Club. You know, Tex Mars has done a lot of things that you may not know of, my friend. It was a main selection of the Computer and Electronic Book Club. Then I started writing other books. I wrote a book called The Great Robot Book, Careers in Computers. Then I did a book called Careers with Robots. Then I did a book called Project Lucid. That was a great book because it was the first ever book to talk about how they will use surveillance and intelligence and computer systems and artificial intelligence to track each one of us. Isn't that what they're doing now, folks? Now, in my book, Personal Robot Book, I talk about the fact that before too long, the robot industry, yes, they have a robot industry. There are now hundreds of robotic corporations. And they're going to produce a robot equal or superior to the humans. And what will they do with us humans? Now they say the New World Order doesn't want all of us. We're just useless eaters. Think about that. You're a useless eater. You may only be valuable as fuel. That may be all human beings are good for, as fuel for the robots. Or maybe if the robots are created like men with thoughts and systems of thinking in terms of intelligence, they may just decide you make a great pet. You're great, like a dog or a cat. But you certainly wouldn't be a good robot. You're too inferior for that. Now, what's this going to do to you and I as Christians? It's going to sort of deflate our ego, isn't it? It's going to make us feel so down. Maybe we're going to talk more about this whole subject when I return right here on Power of Prophecy. We'll be talking about robots. If we're lucky, they'll treat us as pets, if not as food. Or even worse. We'll be right back after this brief message. Stay with us, won't you? Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars, and I want you to have a copy of my book, Robot Alchemy. It's a beautiful book in full color. The whole book is just in gorgeous just a bright, glossy book, and has all these wonderful pictures in it. You'll see everything from the robot-like creatures and, well, Alice in Wonderland to Wizard of Oz. There was TikTok in Wizard of Oz. And you'll see incredible robots. And we'll even talk about science fiction. You'll see, well, just incredible, amazing things in science fiction. I'll tell you, some of the covers of these old science fiction magazines are just incredible. Anyway, I want you to have a copy of this. It's going to be a classic book. Now, I should know a little bit about classic books. I wrote the very first book ever published in the world on personal robots, A Guide to Them, the personal robot book. Then I turned around and wrote the very first book ever published in the world on robots and careers, how you can get a job working on robots or programming robots. Then I did a book on the whole world of robots called The Great Robot Book. So I guess you might say that I'm one of the first androids or cyborgs in the world. But, you know, there's a lot to consider with robots. Are they alive? I actually state in my book, Robot Alchemy, that they are alive. Now, some people would say, well, then do they have souls? Well, just because they're alive doesn't mean that they necessarily have a soul, does it? Does your dog have a soul? Does a bear have a soul? Does a lion? Does a bee or a bug? It's just an interesting thought. Does God save animals? Does God take dogs and cats to heaven? I did a whole program on that one time. And I said that if he wants to, he can do whatever he wants. He's God. People would debate with me and say, oh, God can't do that. Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. Now, would he want to do it? Now, I don't know. I think he would. As a Christian, when you die, it says that God will give you the desires of your hearts. Well, you loved your dog. Your dog passed away. You want God to restore him. All those atoms and corpuscles and cells that made up your little doggy or cat, or I don't know what other pet you'd have. But sure, he can recreate that. In fact, we're recreating clones today. Human beings are. Isn't a clone a robotic-like being? With genetics, we now can create a human being that looks exactly like its gene cell. Of course, that brings up all kind of crazy things. Could we get a little bit of the cells or skin or hair of an Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin and recreate them? Wouldn't you like to have that in 2015, another Stalin or Vladimir Lenin? I think I'd rather live in another world than be in that world, wouldn't you, folks? But in any case, it can be done. But would it really be Lenin? Would it really be Stalin? Would it really be Hitler? Or would it simply look like them? You know, I see a lot of dogs. And I like a lot of dog breeds that other people don't seem to like. But you may like bulldogs. I don't really like bulldogs that much. I sort of like poodles, although they're silly looking sometimes. Chihuahuas. But it seems that sometimes the chihuahuas all look to be the same. Have same kind of ears, same kind of little yap, little bark, wah, 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 wah. You know, I don't know. Clone beings are like that. They can make a whole army and it all can look like the same. Everyone is exactly the same as the next person. I don't know if I'd want to be in an army like that. I don't know if I'd want to be in a country that had an army like that. I don't know if I'd want to be in a world like that. I'm not sure about those things. But Robot Alchemy discusses these kinds of questions. It actually looks at these kinds of beings, and it's scientists who are studying these kinds of beings. Robot Alchemy. It's a book like you've never seen before. I guess that's because Tex Mars wrote it. But God gives me the mind to think about these things. Did you know that even Frankenstein was a form of human being and robot? Of course, he wasn't mechanical, and he didn't have mechanical brains or He did have flesh and blood, but he was a composite of several men, all sewn and put together. And then electricity made him come alive. At least that's what we're told in the movies. Robot alchemy. You'll learn all about robots. You'll discover these questions. And my friends, here's the whole point. You'll be ahead of about 99.99% of the people on this planet. You'll be ahead of them. You'll be asking yourself questions and thinking up things and asking other people questions and they won't even have thought of. And they'll be, well, you'll be so far advanced over them. Now, I'm not asking you to be, you know, braggadocio and go around bragging. I know so much more about robots and cyborgs and androids than you do. Ha, ha, ha. No. This is for your own pleasure. And, you know, I believe God wants us to discuss these questions. Now, some people say, why should we care about robots? Look at all the people, all the problems in the world. Well, goodness gracious. It's going to matter a lot. Because I'm telling you, I'm going to read you in just a minute up from an article that talks about robots replacing over half of all the jobs on this planet in the next 20 years. Think about that. You have a job, can it be done by a robot? You say no. Well, it might be. You're a carpenter, you're a plumber, you're a pipe fitter, you're a welder. All those jobs. You work at a sewing things or making, you know, leather shoes or there's all kinds of things robots can do better than you and me. They can play chess better. I can't play chess at all, but they can play chess better than any human being. There's robots that can do that today. Okay, robot alchemy. Now, let's see. Jerry, how much is this book? $30, okay. Actually, it's $35, but we'll give it to him for $30, okay? $30. It's a very heavy book. It's a big book. For $30, add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $35. We'll send it right to you. Just ask for Robot Alchemy, or simply, The Robot Book. We'll know what you mean. The Robot Book, or Robot Alchemy, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y. Get the book, and I'll tell you, the first thing you'll want to do is just look at the pictures. Look at the captions. Unbelievable. Did you know that Thomas Edison invented a robotic baby? A robotic baby. Thomas Alva Edison, the great inventor. Isn't that something? I have a picture of it right in here in the book. Anyway, Robot Alchemy. Total of $35. This book is way ahead of its time. And I want you, my good friend, to have a copy. Robot Alchemy. Now, you can get it online, our website, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. Or go to TexMars.com. It'll take you the same place, of course. TexMars.com. And go to this book, Robot Alchemy, and buy it. Now, you just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. That's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Or you can write to us. Send us a check for $35 or a money order or cash. $35, ask for Robot Alchemy. Write to Power of Prophecy or to Text Mars, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. By the way, we're in a beautiful area down here in West Austin. Austin is a great capital of the Republic of Texas, we call it. But it's interesting, you know, Jerry's my computer man and my broadcaster here. It's interesting that we're at the end of this street, Patterson Road. We're at 1708 Patterson Road. And when we moved here, it was like we were way out in the boonies. We're boondocks. And we bought this building for a song. And suddenly people started building big homes in here. Like castles. Yeah, exactly. And now it's an expensive area. I guess we're the only ones down the end of the road. They don't know what's down there. We're sort of the secret building at the end of the road. But it's interesting. We have a fence all around us, but we do let you can come in, folks. You can visit us. Come and I have a cup of coffee. You know, we love you. And we'll let you all take a look at all our books and give you a lot of them all for 50%. But in any case, I was just going to say that it's interesting how we're down at the end here, and no telling what this building might, may be worth, but, you know, we don't want to sell it because we love Jesus, and we want to keep sending Jesus' message around the world. And this is the building God gave us back in the days when before Austin got big. You know, when I moved here 30-some-odd years ago, Austin was just a little speck. But now it's a giant city, and it keeps growing and growing and growing. Now there are all these gated areas in here. You know, you look, there's a house somewhere back in the way back. But that's not the way we are. Folks, just come on up. Come see us. Just drive all the way to the end of the street, and you just drive right on into our modest building. You know, somebody once wrote about me. They said, I went to visit Tex Morrison, and he lived in an area where there were, I think he said horse farms or something. Fancy horse farms. And I was scratching my head. You know, we don't have any. Nobody owns any horses here. I think it's just because I'm in Texas, you know, in a suburb sort of Austin. They must have thought that everybody here owns a horse. And so they reported that I lived on this horse farm area. And I just had to laugh. And I told one, boy, it'd be very embarrassing if they found out that I didn't even ride a horse. I don't have a pair of cowboy boots. I don't have a Western shirt. And I did ride a horse one time, but he kicked me off. He kicked me off. Rascal, that rascal. But I've never ridden a horse since then. I never dared. But I feed them now. They're beautiful pets. Give them an apple or a carrot. But ride, oh man, alive. And they're so huge. People don't realize how horses are huge. They're like monstrosities. But that was so funny. Tex Morris has his ministry in the area where they have big horse farms. And I just thought, well, where's that at? There's nobody here that has horses. As far as I so if you come looking for horses, don't come to our place. But if you want to know where Jesus is, well, he's right here with us. In fact, where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, there I'll be. And we have more than two people working for us here. So come on down and see us. You can't beat that, can you? Come on down and meet Jesus here with us. We'd love to have you. Well, let's return to our regular program. We're talking about robots today. Now, here's from, of all newspapers, I got this out of the paper today, the Daily Mail. It's a big newspaper in London, England. And it says, here's a title, Could Robots Turn People Into Pets? Well, it seems like they took that right from my book, doesn't it? Could robots turn people into pets? Elon Musk claims artificial intelligence will treat humans like Labrador dogs. Labrador dogs. You know, there are a couple of kinds of Labradors. There's the yellow Labrador and black Labrador. I love Labradors. They're so friendly. They're big and they're friendly and their tails are always wagging and such. Well, you know who Elon Musk is, friends? He's the guy, the inventor of the Tesla automobile. The electric car. What a great vehicle. It's a beautiful vehicle. Jerry, you have a couple of those, don't you? Those Teslas? You mean you haven't bought one of those? Oh, he's doing his, you know, his hands like, you know, they don't have the money. Yeah, you do need a lot of money for those. I guess they cost about $80,000. Wow. But anyway, none of us here, we live in hot horse country, but none of us have a Tesla. Oh, man. Now, Jerry, listen, folks, he lives on a farm and he does have a horse. Now, it's not one of these fancy horse farms, but it's a Texas ranch. Yeah, you and your wife, I'd say a ranch. I mean, it's not gigantic, but how many acres is that out there? 5 acres. Okay. And your horse was called Mr. Ed. That's really, he got a couple dogs, but you don't have any cats. Oh, my. You cat lovers, write a letter of protest to Jerry. He does not have any cats. He's got horses. He's got dogs, but no cats. Oh, my. You're way behind, Jerry. You got to have a cat and a dog. That's what I've got a cat here at the ministry, and I got two little doggies at home. So, and I believe that Jesus will recreate them in every way. Even the however they think or whatever. Because, you know, they have personalities. And I'll see those personalities again in these pets when I get to heaven. I believe that. Jesus, he loves me, I love him. He'll do that as a favor to me. Sure, it wouldn't be heaven if I couldn't have my little doggies. Not a lot of people say that's silly. That's not silly. No. I'm going to see my dad, mom there when I get to heaven. See my brother that died. And see Jesus. And my pets. Okay. Folks, if you don't like what I'm saying about that, write to me, okay? But it's true. Is it serious? Yes, it's serious. Okay. Now, this article talks about Elon Musk, who's a brilliant man with a Tesla automobile. And Musk says he's fearful now. He's fearful of robots. He says they're going to get super intelligence, and they're going to outdo man, and we'll reach singularity. We'll go beyond singularity to where they're superior to men, and then they'll become a dangerous reality. Musk said recently that robots could soon replace humans as drivers, driverless cars. And they won't need to look like human beings. The car will just drive itself. You know, the TV show where the guy talked to his car. I guess it'll be like that. We already have driverless cars. They said soon there are going to be laws that are passed forbidding human beings from driving cars. Forbidding human beings. Now they say that 15% of all the automobile accidents of teenagers are caused when the teenager is texting with his iPhone or looking at his computer. So we already have it. I mean, these teenagers, they're turning into robots before our eyes. It's causing these crashes. So it's already happening. You know, I don't know what percent is human being, what's artificial intelligence right now today in the cars. Now, Musk claims that when computers become smarter than people, they will treat us like pet Labradors. But remember that professor from Stanford that said maybe instead of treating us like pets, they'll treat us like food. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Remember that movie, Soylent Green? They ate people. They made them into these little Soylent Green things that looked like, you know, bread. Turned out they were made of people, dead people. Sort of incredible. Now, Mr. Musk, who's considered one of the most brilliant men in the world, says that artificial intelligence is, listen to what he says here. It's summoning the demon. When you use artificial intelligence, you are summoning the demon. Isn't that amazing? And another guy, they had a conference recently of these brilliant people that discussed robots. One of them says that robots will prune the human race. They'll prune the human. How do you prune it? You get rid of the bad ones. There's a lot of bad human beings on Earth. A lot of them are psychopaths. Now, Dr. Robert Hare of Canada, wrote a classic book on psychopaths. I read it recently. He says that at least one out of every 20 human beings on this Earth are psychopaths. They have the capacity to be, well, a Jeffrey Dahmer, monsters. And what if robots were able to get rid of people like that? What if they were able, through their powers of analysis, their super intelligence, to decide who was psychotic or who was psychopath and who was not? And what if people at the top programmed the robot to kill every psychopath they came into contact with? I was recently reading an article. This guy said it'd be a great world if that could be. They expect for human beings to be interviewed by robots at the highest level. You would go into the robot and it would ask you questions and questions. And then maybe after an hour of being interviewed, the robot would decide that you are dangerous. You are a psychopath. And it would just instantly murder you. I don't know what kind of murder. Maybe it would cause you to have a heart attack through some electronic beam. Or maybe it would just take you and send you off to some industrial farm to work out your whole life. But more likely, it says, this person is useless. Let's kill them and send them back to the land. Dust to dust. Yeah, they'll get rid of the violent ones and they'll breed the docile human beings. The nice, peaceful, lovable, kind human being, they may let them still live. Or folks, what if the robot were directed? What if its directive said, your job is to kill all the Christians? They will kill you and think they do God's service. Who is their God? Satan. What if these robots are all led by Satan? I mean, Elon Musk says it will be like summoning the demon. And there you summon the demon and say, tell us which of these human beings are inferior. Which ones worship Jesus Christ? We need to prune them out and destroy them. They're useless. They're no good to us. Wow. Now, some may say that's impossible. That will never happen. Really? Didn't you read about something like that in just maybe 30 minutes ago right here on this program in Revelation 13? The beast, the image of the beast, the image, his image, a clone of him or some kind of mystical being is able to move about and walk and talk, I suppose. And he puts a mark in you. Maybe it's a nano robot, a miniature robot, a small robot the size of a virus. Talk about these vaccines, people getting these vaccines. Did you know that the five chief terrorists that were released from Guantanamo Bay in exchange for private or specialist, whatever he was in the army, Robert Bergdahl, these five terrorists that were released, it turns out that they were all injected with something or given something in their food, which gave them a flu. They had a flu that had been induced in their bodies. And they needed medicine then. And they all got an injection, of course, to make them well. But what was the medicine? It had nanorobots in it. You can track them down anywhere in the world. You can blow up these men. This nanorobot will go direct to the heart or to the head, to the brain. They'll have an aneurysm or a blood clot that will kill them. Nanorobots, that actually is how we're controlling those men, how we know where they're at and what they're doing. Maybe the only ones that will be allowed to live are those that are docile. That'll go along with Big Brother. Get again the book Big Brother. Read it. I mean, you can read it in about one night. It'll scare you. Or get the book Brave New World by Huxley. I mean, Hillary Rodham Clinton said that's her favorite book. Really? It's a frightening one. Now, Musk says that humanity needs to be careful about what it programs super intelligent robots to do. He said it's been suggested that we use these super intelligent robots to find out what makes people happy. But what, Musk asks, what if it concludes, the robot concludes, that all unhappy humans should be terminated? You're unhappy? We can fix that. There's a science fiction book written by Jack Williamson entitled With Folded Hands. With folded hands, and it depicts a future in which there are robots everywhere doing things for people. And this one man was very active. He played tennis, and he was very active and with his body and all, and his he cleaned his own apartment and so forth. And he was given these robots. There were so many robots in the world. The price of them was very cheap. He was giving them, and this was one of their prime directives. They were to make sure that he was happy. And he went along and said, that's a good idea. These robots are going to keep me happy. That's their job. But after a while, he got tired of being waited on. He wanted breakfast. They got it right to him. He wanted his shoes brought to him, newspaper. He wanted the TV on. He wanted it fixed, whatever. There it was. They were super efficient, did their job. They were going to keep him happy. Then one day he said, you know what? I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. The robots are doing it all. I want to be active. I'm a human being. I like to stay active and energetic. I'm not happy. Uh-oh. the robots heard it. They said, "You're not happy?" "No, no, I'm not. Uh-oh." He thought, "Was it too late?" The robot looked at him again and said, "Sir, if you're not happy, we can fix that. We know how to make you happy." And then he realized it. He remembered in the manual that he had of the robots. They had a technical manual. And it said toward the back, there was a section that said, "If you're not happy, the robots can fix you." They were going to give him a lobotomy. They were going to take care of him, make him happy. Suddenly he said, "Oh, no, I'm very happy. I was only kidding you. I'm very, very happy." They said, "That's good, sir, because that's our job, to make you happy." Maybe you and I are happy now with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm not happy with all the smut I see and the pornography and the death and the suffering. It makes me mad. It makes me sick. It makes me sad. I don't want machines to make me happy. I want people to stop doing these things. But what if they decided, well, Mr. Tex Mars needs to be happy. And we know how to make him happy. They'll keep the docile humans, get rid of the violent ones. And then they'll breed the docile humans. There won't be any more violent ones. And if they think you could be violent, well, they could take care of that. They know how to make you happy. So, Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of Apple, brilliant man, Steve Wozniak, he said that human-like computers are a dangerous reality. He says, "Will we be the gods? As human beings, will we be gods over the robots, or will we be their pets?" See, that's what most people think. We're going to be like a god. I'm going to tell this robot what to do, and it will do it. And but what if it turns out to be the god, or a fake god, a satanic god, and you are just its pets? Or, asked Mr. Wozniak, will we be ants? Ants. A-N-T-S, that gets stepped on. Robot Alchemy is the name of the book. Robot Alchemy. I hope you'll get a copy. Consider these things. God warns us in his Bible about these things. He knows what's going to take place in the next 20 years. He knows every step of the way. He's preparing you and I for it. This is not just some kooky idea I came up with, folks. I didn't write these books starting a couple of decades ago. I thought about them. And I said, what if? But we do have Jesus Christ. He is a Savior. We have souls. We can believe in spirit and in truth. We can be saved. We can be overcomers. That's the good news, folks. You're not going to be overcome by the robots. You're the overcomer. It says so in the book of Revelation. And I believe it. I'm Tex Mars, inviting you to tune in each week during this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.